listen to the word of the Lord all of your life and you don't say yes to God and you don't finally receive Him in the free pardon of sin, then it's not been a profitable thing for you whatsoever. What good would it do for you if you could gain the world and yet you died without God and lost your own soul and went to a devil's hell? Notice, if you will, in that passage there, when you look into it, that he said, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. You know, there's a lot of people out there, they're making a job. They're making it a job, making millions just on filthiness. I mean, it's just that way in the religious world that we live in, and in the lost world especially. And yet you'll find that many of them that absolutely have not received the word of the Lord, in fact, they're scared to death of it. You know, every time you go to a wedding or something, boy, they're afraid. There's always a killers of people. They're scared to death the preacher's going to say something. I've literally had people ask me, why do you have to say anything at a wedding or a funeral? Well, when is a good time to preach to you? You won't never come to church. When is it a good time to just ignore the fact that you're going to hell? Now they don't have to worry about it on TV. Have you seen that? When it says, when you die, are you going to heaven or not? I don't know where not is. I wonder why they didn't just go ahead and put hell. Are you going to heaven when you die or going to hell? I mean, if you're just not going to go, where are you going? See? It's either heaven or hell. I can tell you that right now. You may hold on and hold out to not, but you're not head if you do. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that whenever you receive the engrafted word of the Lord, that you might, this Bible says that what it does is that it's able to save your soul. I can tell you right now, the Bible said the Lord chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe it. And yet every time that I turn around, look over in Isaiah chapter number 30, there's a passage, Isaiah 30, Isaiah 66, we're going to look at both of them just for a second. Every time that I notice this, is that you'll find that in the day and hour that we're living in, that somehow and other people are trying to run as fast and as hard as they possibly can from the word of the Lord. I seen the other day, there's an actor. He's a pretty good actor. Of course, you know, his films are not Christian. Of course, I guess he's probably not going to heaven, but he's going to not. I mean, he's just a heathen who laid the chunk. But let me say, when you look into it in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 30, and it's in about verse number 9. In verse number 9, here's what he said. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. You know, I've noticed that down through the years, and I've been doing this a day or two, as you well know, but I've been noticing that every time. I noticed the other day at Miss Stephanie's funeral, while she's shouting it out and all that, and our hearts are broken and will be for a long time. I noticed when Brother Randy got up and with the Bible, buddy, they went to scattering and getting scared. When the old man got up, wasn't too much commotion, but then when he got up, there's a few, and then when I got up, buddy, let me tell you, they went to getting out of Dodge in a hurry. You know what that is? That's people on the run from God. They're running from the word of the Lord. You know why? I can tell you, listen, the next time you talk to somebody about their soul and they say, I don't want to talk to you. You've got your religion. I've got my way of thinking. I don't want to even talk about it. Well, you know what's the matter with them? They're not scared of what you believe. They're scared of what they believe. If they were not scared of what they believe, they'd try to defend it and give it to you from the word of the Lord. But it's hard to get people to sit and listen to you that are on the run. Look in Isaiah 66. And about verse number 4. Isaiah 66 and verse number 4. In fact, is that'd be a good thing for the rest of the time, for the rest of the week, that you might just want to go and say, hey, where you going when you die? Are you going to not? See, I mean, it wanted to know. Franklin Graham, you know, and I like old Franklin. I liked his daddy, Billy. But Franklin, you know, I mean, I would that I could just go ahead and preach the love of Jesus and the gospel, and I wish I could really get you to just bow your head, repeat a prayer, and call that number and make a donation, and also go on rejoicing. It don't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. In the lesson that you're looking at in Isaiah chapter number 66, looking about verse 4, I also will choose their delusions, and I will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. No, they were on the run. And whenever I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. I got to tell you right now, if you hear the word of the Lord and tremble at the word of God, and you believe what God said and receive what God said, He'll save your soul, clean up your life, change you for all eternity. Make no mistake about Him. You can either run to God or you can run from God. But my word, let me tell you, one of these days it'll be a sad time, because whenever He called and you didn't answer, one of these days you'll call and He won't answer. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that there are several things that we ought to be pointing out. God wants everybody to be the same. He said, be ye holy as I'm holy. And let me say to you that if you want something that'll save your soul, you better receive the engrafted word of the Lord. It becomes part of you. It'll change your life. It'll convert your soul. It'll cause you to go down the road with a cheerful countenance and a peace of God that passeth all understanding deep down inside you. I tell you what it does is that whenever you come to Jesus Christ and you get saved by the grace of God, He changes the direction you've been headed. He changes the actions that you've been involved in. He changes, in fact, is what He does is that He corrects what's wrong in your life. And I can tell you right now is that whenever I got saved by the grace of God, He not only caused me to be corrected, but there's been a many a person said, no, I'm not going that route, and they continued just to live in error. I'm glad to say that Jesus Christ is the answer. And if you knew me before I knew Him, you'd be able to know that whenever I trusted Him, that He's made a difference. He's made a change in my heart and life. I want to say to you that profitable preaching is that which will save your soul. It'll change your life. Over there in the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 4, there's a passage that we ought to look at. And you'll find out that this is nothing new under the sun. But in the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 4, here's where many of the people of Israel and where the downfall for them was. Chapter 4, verse number 2. Notice, if you will, let's just back up to verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. All right, now watch this here. We had the gospel preached to us. They had the gospel preached to them. But notice, if you will, but the word preached did not profit them. In other words, it could have, it should have, but they didn't want it. And notice, if you will, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Here's what He said. In other words, He said the reason why that crowd that died without hope and dies without God is because they heard the same gospel, and it saved one, but it didn't save the other, because they did not believe it and they didn't want to mix faith with it. In the day and hour that we're living in, especially in the business world, the higher up the ladder people get in the business world, the less they care, the less they believe what thus saith the Lord. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that it's profitable to you to hear the word of the Lord and let God show you yourself like He sees you. And then whenever He comes knocking on your heart's door and draws you by His power and by the Spirit of God, you get born again and washed by the blood into the family of God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that it was profitable for me to hear the gospel. And let me tell you, it's profitable for anybody that'll repent toward God by faith, believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something God grants you and God'll give you by the hearing of the word of the Lord. But I got to tell you right now, we're living in a world somehow or another. They're just trying to, I don't know, If it's raining, they don't mind mudding their way to hell. If it's freezing, they'll slide their way to hell. They just don't want whatever God's got to offer, and they make no bones about it, that they're interested in nothing except what they've conjured up in their own mentality. Thus, the commercial. When you die, are you going to heaven or not? Well, I got to tell you, Mr. Knothead, that other place, you know, I was listening to a preacher, and he said, you know, one of these days, whenever you leave this world, you're going to want to go to heaven. You certainly don't want to go to that other place. And he kept calling it that other place. Let me tell you, that other place is hell. That other place to these knotheads, there's only two choices. You're either going to heaven in Christ, or you're going to hell without him. And make no mistake about it, that's the only two places. There's not a heaven to have and a not to shun. No, it's hell that you need to shun. And the gospel message of Jesus Christ will pay the sin debt, because he bowed his head over 2,000 years ago, gave up the ghost, that whosoever would believe in him and call upon his name should have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but it thrills my soul every time that I'm looking into the Bible. Over there in the book of Jeremiah, you don't have to turn there, but in chapter number 23 in the book of Jeremiah, they had those that would lie to them and promise them life when they didn't have life themselves. We live in a world that's like that. Let me say to you that profitable preaching, not only is it good to save your soul, there's a price to pay. You know the reason why people don't like it, don't you? Well, there's a passage that's over in about Jeremiah 23 and about verse number 29. And he said, is not my word like a fire? Every now and again, you preach the word of the Lord, it goes getting a little hot. It goes burning some stuff. He says, is not my word like a fire, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? You talk about cutting and talk about burning and talk about breaking. That's what the word of the Lord does. Ain't no wonder so many people in the day and hour that we're living in have no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. Now, there's a passage over in 2 Chronicles that we ought to look at in chapter number 36. And I want you to look at it real quickly. Israel had a very golden opportunity to repent toward God by faith, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they wanted to do something different. And as a result, they wanted to be like the rest of the world. They wanted to have a king like the rest of the world had. I got to tell you, they got what they wanted and they lost what they had. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 36 and about verse number 15, we'll take up looking there. And the Lord of their fathers sent unto them by the messenger rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Notice, if you will, that God concerned about them, God cared about them, God had compassion upon them. And yet the Bible said, verse 16, but they mocked the messengers of God. They despised his words and misused his prophets until that the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, until there was no remedy. I got to tell you what ends up happening. Saying no to God, no to God, no to God finally brings you past the point of no return, until that finally there's no remedy for you whatsoever. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, is that we live in a world that despises the Lord God of glory. They mock the messengers of God. They've misused his prophets. Now, let me tell you something about this modernist world that we're living in. They not only hollered crucify to the Lord Jesus Christ whenever he was being tried, but they're not looking for him to come again. And let me say to you, here's what the modernist does in their presentation of the gospel, if you will, please. They are looking for a non-confrontational way to present the gospel. Do you see here what I'm telling you? They're looking for a way that's non-confrontational. I remember whenever I first surrendered to preach and made it known that, hey, God's called me to preach, I've surrendered to preach, and so forth and on, and I'm going to make preparations for it, and so, and all that business there. And I got to tell you, I can just remember when the preacher, you know, and he let me preach, and of course it disturbed things because it was a little saltier than he had been used to. And where he had been used to giving them a sugar stick and patting them on the back and letting them burp real good and making them feel good about themselves like they were. Whatever that I preached, how am I going to miss a crowd like that? And let me say to you that, if you will, I didn't know much of nothing. And it just seemed like that the authority of the word of the Lord. He pulled me aside and said, "Now, Dennis, I want to tell you something. You know, when I started out, I preached a whole lot like you were doing. And then I learned that I could present stuff in a different way that would be less offensive to people." You know what he was saying? You need to try to find a way that is non-confrontational. You're confronting people too much with the word of the Lord. I had an old man here that came, I can't remember his name. It don't make any difference anyhow. If he dies like he is, if he's already dead, he's in hell right now. I hope that's not the case. But he said, "You know, you'd have a whole lot bigger crowd if you'd just lighten up a little bit." He came two or three times and found out, I guess, I wasn't going to lighten up. What I'm just simply saying to you, that when you look into it, there's a world out there that's looking for a non-confrontational way to present the gospel. I know preachers, you know preachers across the country, and let me tell you right now is, they learn to practice that. In fact is, whenever you look into it, is that they try to avoid all the subjects of controversy, such as sin, by naming it. And let me say to you, such as the judgment, such as the subject of hell, such as the doctrine of Christ, such as the qualification of ministers. Therefore, if a man is going to be, desires the office of a bishop, he's to be the husband of one wife. But let me tell you, that ain't all of it. Look at all these women preachers now that are not qualified. They even stand in a pulpit and across the country, they're building crowds. You say that in the average Baptist church, and it's going to make some woman mad that's hooked up with her favorite preacherette, we'll call them. I got to tell you right now, God's not in the women calling preaching business. Never has been, won't be tonight, will not be tomorrow. See, I want to say to you that if you will, here's another subject the average Baptist is not going to deal with, and if you deal with it, they're going to avoid you like the plague, and that's the subject of race mixing. You don't think one preacher that, if you will, please, if he's got running 200 or 300, 300 or 400, he's got salt and pepper couple sitting in his congregation, he's not saying nothing about it. You don't think he's going to let you say nothing about it, do you? Now, of course, if I went to a church like that and had that, I wouldn't say one word about it. I'm not there for that. But if God pushed it very hard, I would. I used to go over there and preach for Brother Lee back whenever he was alive, him and his wife. Stayed in their home many a time. She walked up to me and she said, "Now, Brother Dennis, I've invited somebody to come. Don't say nothing about the Southern Baptists tonight and how liberal that they are, because these are people there, and I don't want to offend them." I said, "Well, sis, I didn't even want to until you told me I couldn't." See what I'm talking about? We're talking about people are looking for a non-confrontational manner to be able to present the gospel. Now, you know, listen, if it's just secular things in life and all of that business there, I want you to be nice to me, and I don't want you to confront me with too much and all that, but when it comes down to preaching the unadulterated word of the Lord, you better not have a hernia on your lung or a bunion on your tongue. I'll tell you something right now. Here's a subject that no longer is being dealt with, and that's that queer movement, sodomite. I don't mean this to be ugly and all that business there, and I know that some of you like Taylor Swift, trailer trash Swift. Do you realize that, though, she's a big promoter of the lesbian movement? See that? I wouldn't give her a dime. I wouldn't even spit on her. She's burning up, and she's going to burn. See? I got to tell you the reason. But listen, if you ever see her, ask her, say, "My preacher wants to know, are you going to heaven or not?" Well, that "not," you nodhead, is a place called hell, the bottomless pit. It's the lake of fire where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. I want to say to you that, if you will, that we live in a world that, as our scripture said that we read in James chapter number 1, if you'll take the engrafted word of the Lord into your heart and into your life, here's what will happen to you. It's able to save your soul. Do you realize and know that's profitable preaching? I heard a lot of preaching down through the years, and whenever I was growing up, we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival time, this and that. And let me tell you right now is that there would have been a lot of times, you know, if I'd have died without hope, without God, I'd have went to a devil's hell, no doubt about it. But I'm glad that God made that which had not been profitable, that he made it profitable to me, and that he opened my heart, my eyes of understanding, and snatched me as a brand from the burning, and let me, by the grace of God, receive the engrafted word of the Lord. Now, that word engrafting, here's what it amounts to. It becomes part of you. It's not just something you heard that you can turn loose anytime you want to. I mean, now listen, I got saved. I'm not in and out and up and down, all that business there. I've been saved, saved, saved by the grace of God. You know what that is, don't you, when you got saved? That's when everybody in here that got saved, God gave you a spiritual circumcision of the heart. I know that men and all of that business there know something about circumcision, and you ladies that may not know, but God circumcised you in your heart. Do you realize, though, that out of all these years, I've never met anybody that had been circumcised that they wanted to get it reversed? Because it's irreversible. Brother Ron brought that out many years, and I thought, you know, that's good. I'm going to remember that. And let me tell you right now, is when God saves you, circumcises your heart, it'll never be undone. See, a person walks down the aisle, makes a profession of faith, and says, I want to be saved, and so forth, and then they go back out the door, and they live the same way they always live, go the same places they always go, and do the same things they've always done. Now, that's not a person there that's had spiritual circumcision down in their heart. But, buddy, when God does circumcise your heart unto him, it'll make a lasting change that'll be for all eternity. I want to say in closing that, if you will, please, I hope you'll remember that. You're going to be confronted with that sooner or later up and down the road of life, and you're going to see it. Are you going to heaven or not? Spend the rest of the week asking people where not is. Hey, you know where not is? What direction is? Yeah, I know what direction heaven is, but what direction's not? I got to tell you right now is that old preacher was arguing with that atheist, and he looked at him, and the atheist guy, he said, well, I can tell you this. He said, here it is, Mr. Preacher. The subject of heaven and hell is all just a state of mind. You think that you're in heaven. You think that you're in hell. He said, let me tell you something. When you get to where it's darkness, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, you're not just going to think you're in hell. You're really going to be there. And Jesus Christ came to snatch you as a brand from the burning, to save you by his marvelous grace. Now, I got to tell you, there are going to meet a lot of people in the world, and they're not interested in heaven, and they don't really care what not is. But I can promise you one thing, they just want to run from God, and they don't want to hear anything about the gospel message. And whenever God says, and I called and you refused it. Sad day, isn't it? I'm glad I'm not one of those that refused it. I'm glad that I'm hell proof and I'm heaven bound. While we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our Father, I pray your blessings now. Songs of Zion that we've enjoyed tonight. Lord, it's good to be able to know thee and the free pardon of sin. It's just good to be washed by the blood of the Lamb, born into the family of God. What a wonderful day it was, the day you found us. Now I pray you'd go with us to each home and bless all the requests that have been mentioned. In Jesus' name we pray.